We come to another new prophet this evening, Micah. So if you would turn to Micah in chapter 1, and we'll read verses 1 through 16. Micah chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. And we'll begin chapter 1, verse 1. These are the words of the Lord. The word of the Lord which came to Micah of Moresheth in the days of Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, which he saw concerning Samaria and Jerusalem. Hear, O peoples, all of you, listen, O earth, and all it contains, and let the Lord God be a witness against you, the Lord from his holy temple, because the Lord is coming forth from his place. He will come down and tread on the high places of the earth. The mountains will melt under him, and the valleys will be split like wax before the fire, like water poured down a steep place. All this is for the rebellion of Jacob and for the sins of the house of Israel. What is the rebellion of Jacob? Is it not Samaria? What is the high place of Judah? Is it not Jerusalem? For I will make Samaria a heap of ruins in the open country, planting places for a vineyard. I will pour her stones down into the valley and will lay bare her foundations. All her idols will be smashed, all her earnings will be burned with fire, and all her images I will make desolate, for she collected them from a harlot's earnings, and to the earnings of a harlot they will return. Because of this, I must lament and wail. I must go barefoot and naked. I must make a lament like the jackals and a mourning like the ostriches. For her wound is incurable, for it has come to Judah. It has reached the gates of my people, even to Jerusalem. Tell it not in Gath, weep not at all. At Beth La Ephrah, roll yourself in the dust. Go on your way, inhabitants of Shephir, in shameful nakedness. The inhabitant of Za'anan does not escape. The lamentation of Beth Ezel, he will take from you its support. For the inhabitant of Moroth becomes weak, waiting for good, because a calamity has come down from the Lord, the gate of Jerusalem. Harness the chariot to the team of horses, O inhabitant of Lachish. She was the beginning of sin to the daughter of Zion, because in you were found the rebellious acts of Israel. Therefore you will give parting gifts on behalf of Moresheth Gath. The houses of Achzib will become a deception to the kings of Israel. Moreover, I will bring on you the one who takes possession, O inhabitant of Mereshah. The glory of Israel will enter Adullam. Make yourself bald and cut off your hair because of the children of your delight. Extend your baldness like the eagle, for they will go from you into exile. And those are God's words. And so here another prophet, which means another warning of coming judgments that will bring destruction and desolation upon the kingdoms of Israel and Judah. And the question then we ask is, why is that? And he gives the answer to that, verses 5 verse 5, because of all their sin and rebellion. And we ask ourselves, are you in sin? Are we in sin? Because that would be wise to think about, to examine ourselves. Well, what does this destruction look like? Verses 6 and 7, it describes it. And then the greatness of the destruction in verses 8 and 9. It is great. And the extent of it is great. The rest of the passage shows the sorrow, the grief that there ought to be because of their heinous rebellion, because of their sin. And as we think of it, because of our sin before Yahweh. And so here we're called to turn to Christ and repent, just like we find in the other prophets. Lest you come under the great destruction and desolations, as Christ will learn this evening, has taken place on the throne. He has taken his place on the throne in his ascension. He's now seated, and he will come and judge with equity all who sin against Yahweh and who have no propitiation made for them. And so come and repent of your sins. So you should examine yourself. Where am I sinning? And come to Christ for repentance. Let's pray. Father, we have broken your commandments. We are no better of ourselves, like no better than Israel. We've broken all your commandments. And breaking one of them, we're guilty of all of them. Father, we have made other gods. We've made, taken up other gods and taken upon our lips false things or lies or gossips or blaspheming your name, not telling the truth, and exalting your who you are and your word. And so we've taken the name of the Lord thy God in vain. We've not kept the Sabbath day holy. Father, we're thankful that you are the God who's gracious to us nonetheless. That though we have not loved you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, you are gracious to us. But we've also broken the second greatest commandment. And we have not honored our authorities and inferiors. We have murdered in our hearts. We have committed adultery. We have stolen from others and from you. We've borne false witness against our neighbor and coveted those things of our neighbors, wanting them for ourselves, which we are not to have and cannot have. Father, forgive us of our sins. Father, may you cleanse our hearts. And we know only coming to your Son and through your Son can we be pardoned of all our iniquity. We also acknowledge that if we say that we have no sin, then the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us all our iniquities. And we praise you and exalt you that we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who is our propitiation. And so we come to him. And coming to you, we come through him. Father, we've committed many sins, and yet we ask for forgiveness. Not just that we would confess with our mouths, but that we would truly turn from our sins and turn to you. Father, work in us by your Spirit and move us to turn to you. Father, we also confess that we cannot do this without your Spirit working in our hearts. We need your strength. We are weak, and so we need your strength to enable us to do it. And give us the zeal, the desire to turn from our sins to you, lest we be found in the great judgment to come and be exiled from you for all eternity. Father, be merciful to us. We do not deserve any of your blessedness, any blessings. We don't deserve you. We don't deserve to be here this evening. We don't deserve to worship you or to hear you speak to us through your word. We deserve the miseries of this life and all the pains of hell forever. Never to hear you speak ever again. And so, Father, we plead that you would show mercy and you would shower your grace upon us. Father, we ask that you would heal our bodies, many that we know, family, friends, even maybe ourselves, are struggling in our bodies. Heal our bodies. And strengthen us to worship you even this evening, to love you in all things. Strengthen our souls. Encourage us. Give us comfort, as you'll do this evening with your word. We know because you promised to do so. To equip us for every good work. Do so this evening. Perfect us. We pray that you would do that this evening and in and through your means of grace. And these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.